Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. The NBA draft happened tonight. That's right, in the middle of November. So we're going to recap that. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Late clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Box back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. So 291 coming hot at you guys, and so 290. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossin, the Rock Tassopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And the NBA draft was tonight. NBA draft trades happen. Trades happen in the NBA before the draft. It's been a wild week in the NBA, to say the least, and it's only going to get crazier as free agency unfolds and then more NBA trades happen. If you want
Can-
to...
Yeah. Can the NBA do away with that whole
structure
of trades, where if a team trades for a pick, then the original team still has to make the pick for the other team? That's such bullshit. Like, the player getting drafted has to wear the cap of the team that they're not even going to play for.
Yeah, I mean,
and it gets confusing. It's like the Bucks are picking for this team, but it's not even that team that's making the selection, and that player has to put on the cap. It's so weird and random.
Yeah, it is a little random. It's different than the NFL. Everything has to be filed through the league first, and that just doesn't happen overnight, obviously. There's different dates and deadlines where that goes down. So that's the reasoning for it. Is it really dumb and annoying? I would say so. I mean, we were all by the time we got to like the 25th pick, we're like, no one knew, even the announcers, like, where the hell is Emmanuel quickly going? Remember, Calipari got
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Calipari like, had to be like, well, he's going to the Knicks. You have to know that.
Yeah, and I'm like, sitting there like thinking he's going to the Thunder. We all are, and like RJ Hampton went to the Bucks, to the Pelicans, and now is on the Nuggets. It's like, what are we doing here? I don't mind the draft day trades, and by the time it gets to the second round, it's just out of control.
They did away with making any moves during the lottery, and then decided to make all the moves after the lottery. So, because they commented on that prior to pick 15, they were like, no moves have been made. And I think everyone was expecting someone to move up, someone to move down. A lot of teams obviously are accumulating picks and stockpiling picks. I mean, you look and see how many first round picks the Thunder have. They've got, what, like 16 now in the next 6 years? It's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, it's out of control. It's out of control, honestly, and it's. I mean, but at that point, I mean, I guess they got the guy from Greece, right? That who could be the unicorn. He's one of the guys we may not see for a while, though. But they picked Cassius Winston. They moved him. A lot of guys moved around. The Thunder, like you're saying, Toss, have a million and one picks over the next few years. It's like, I think it is 16 to like 2026. But at what point do you start packaging those guys for superstars? I don't know. I was surprised no one moved up. That was the biggest shock to me. There was no movement in the lottery. I can't remember the last time I'd seen that. There's usually something.
I think it just speaks to, and if you were watching the ESPN stream of it, Jay Billis commented on it. It's like, not a lot of superstars or even potentially all-stars in this draft, but a lot of serviceable NBA players who could potentially be backups and contributors on teams. So I think it was a very deep draft. I think that we'll see a lot more guys in the second round who actually stay in the league, whereas normally we see guys go in the second round and either, you know, hop down to the G League or just go abroad because they can't make it in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's a great point by Billis. And I also think to that, though, I think that's why I had a tough time. Like, what we're going to do is three picks we liked, try to do three picks we don't like, a steal and one where there's just a big question mark on our head. We don't know how to feel either way. We'll each give some of those out. I had a tough time finding picks I really didn't like. Like, I, for the most part, especially in the lottery, I really liked what everyone did.
I wasn't, I did like, too. The picks that like I don't like are for the are more for the player than for the team.
That would be my sentiment as well, Nick. Before we get into any of that, I'm sure people bet on who the first overall pick was going to be. And if you two were to bet on where the where Anthony Edwards was going to go, if the Timberwolves was going to take Anthony Edwards, sorry about that. There's some noise in the background. Who knows where that's come from? Where would you guys go to bet?
BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag.
Anthony Edwards had to have been, his odds were the highest to be the number one pick, I think.
Yeah, it got to that point. I think that I don't.
But it was still plus money. You were still, because like in years past, like usually the guy who goes number one overall is usually a huge favorite where he's like minus 200, minus 300. Like, I don't even know what Anthony Edwards closed out at, but it had to be like plus 200 or like plus 150 because people still didn't know, you know, Wiseman and Ball were in the mix.
I didn't think Wiseman was going to go there. I thought that would have been a shock. I thought Ball was in the mix, but the more I started looking at it and reading at it and thinking about it, I think that ended up being the right pick and the pick I thought was going to happen. When I woke up this morning and throughout the day, I came to my mind, I kind of fell on that Anthony Edwards was going to be the top pick. Did you feel differently, Toss?
No, I felt that it was the best fit for them. I think that they're trying to put together kind of a good five-man rotation and just LaMelo alongside D'Angelo. They want D'Angelo to run the point, so it just didn't really make sense to pair those two guys together,
yeah.
Especially because they had traded for Ricky Rubio prior to the draft as well. So there's another point guard to play alongside D'Angelo Russell if they want to run kind of a 1-2 punch and let D'Angelo just be that scoring guard. I thought it was pretty clear to me that they were going to go Edwards. It was really the Warriors who I was unsure about, although they did what I thought they were going to do. And even though news about Klay Thompson getting hurt today, really tragic because apparently it sounds like it could be a pretty severe Achilles injury,
yeah.
Which of course you don't want to see, especially because Klay got hurt last year. You don't want to see him miss any more time, but he didn't get hurt last year. He missed the entirety of last year.
Yeah.
But it, you know, whether he got hurt or not, I think that Wiseman was their guy. They went with him, and then that was kind of just for the Hornets. It was interesting to see how LaMelo Ball's stock really dropped prior to the draft, and then like right before the draft, like days coming, it went back up to what it was at, you know, prior to all the to the workouts and the interviews. And I think he fit exactly where he should have, right? He's of all the guys, like, guys have the kind of all-star star potential. I'm not going to say superstar because I don't think any of them are Luka or Trae Young, but we finally get the LaMelo Ball in Charlotte, which I know we're all three excited about because we get to see LaVar Ball finally play Michael Jordan in one-on-one. In case anyone was paying attention, LaVar Ball was wearing his hat that said, "I told you so," which is what he said he was going to wear when Lonzo got drafted at number two. At that time, he was wearing the Triple B brand hat and shirt, I think. But he said, "I'm going to wear a hat and it's going to say, 'I told you so.'" And he wore that tonight.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
Yeah. I honestly, from what we've known about MJ, he could have totally forced the LaMelo pick just to play LaVar. He's like that crazy and competitive and weird like that. Wouldn't be like completely shocking if they ended up suiting up together with LaMelo as the special guest referee. We've touched around the top, though. We've touched around the top. We'll kick it to you, Toss. You're already going. Who are your three favorite picks in the first round?
My three favorite picks in the first round, it depends how we want to do this. Do we want to do this as far as just my personal favorites?
Yeah.
What I think the best fit is for the team?
Mm-hmm.
I think those could be different. Like, I know we were talking about it prior to getting on, but Nick, you don't like Denny Avdia going to Washington. I think it's the right pick for them. He fell to them, and I think he fits well, but like, I get where you're coming from, because this is not a roster where you really wanted to be on it if you were a young, talented player.
Yeah, it's a sinking ship.
Yeah. To touch on Abdiya, if we're going to do that, I think he's a great player. From what we've seen, obviously a high motor guy, skilled across the board, good defender, and he could score the rock, right, and distribute well. It just, to me, what didn't make sense is if you're the Wizards and you're not going to trade Bradley Beal and you're bringing Wall back and you're going to try to compete again, why are you taking a guy that's going to take A, time to develop, and B, may not even play in the league this year? It was just a weird pick for them if they're going to compete. If they're not going to compete and they're going to move one or two of those guys and kind of restart the whole thing, I think it's a good pick. It's just, I don't know what that team's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think for me, the Atlanta pick at six, I really like. I think it's a great fit. I think it fills a need for their team, another young piece that they add to the roster. I don't really trust the Hawks, I don't trust their front office as far as developing players and putting things together. And Trae Young obviously is their best player. I don't know how much of a leader he really is in the locker room. But I think, to kind of put a Kongwu next to Clint Capella, and you have all these young shooters and Trae Young kind of at the point. It looks like it's going to be kind of a pretty solid roster across the board. Now you've got DeAndre Hunter, you've got Kevin Herter. So I think that this team should be a lot more competitive this year. I think that pick was good in my eyes. You got to give, I don't know if you give credit to the Kings or you kind of ask everyone else, what are you doing? Particularly the Knicks, who I know they wanted Obi Toppin, he's a New York guy, but you pass on Tyrese Halliburton. And I think, to me, I look at the Pistons and I look at the Knicks, and they were at the 7 and the 8. The Pistons went after that point guard. Now Killian Hayes can be the guy, that floor manager, and run the offense for them going forward. They got a plethora of other young players to put alongside him. Of course, they still have Blake. The Knicks, now you put Obi Toppin alongside Julius Randle. You put him alongside some other big guys. You needed that point guard to pair with RJ Barrett, and they didn't necessarily get that. We'll see what Emmanuel Quickley does, but he's more kind of a shooting, a point guard who can shoot the three. We'll see how he fares as a playmaker. But I really liked just the value of that Kings pick at 12 with Tyrese Halliburton, who was supposed to be a top five pick. So
yeah,
I liked that a lot.
I think to kind of pair my question mark pick and one of my favorite picks, the Halliburton pick's amazing. I don't know. We see it all the time in drafts. There's always that one guy that probably should have gone earlier and just didn't, right? And I could go to the pick, my least favorite pick, particularly in the lottery, and then I could go to the pick that was the question mark. The question mark pick was Killian Hayes. And that could be me just, not having seen him as much as I've seen Halliburton and not, understanding him enough as much as I understand Halliburton. But it's a very high-risk, high-reward pick. And if you're the Pistons and you're picking in that 7 to 11 range year in and year out, it's like, what are we doing here? Why can't we take a guy that we know for certain is going to be at least a good starter in the NBA? And I look to the Bulls, and I know the Bulls kind of wanted to get that forward-type player. But I think going to point guard, again, it would have been a good move. I think Kobe White, I know they took him last year, but as a guy, I view him as a six-man scoring guy off the bench, the energetic-type player, not as the guy who's going to be your starting all-star point guard for years to come. I don't think he's that Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell guy that's going to blow up next year. I think he's the kind of guy that's like a spark plug Lou Will off the bench, if anything. And I think Halliburton would have been a good man to pair with LaVine and a good man to pair with Markkanen and Wendell Carter. The Patrick Williams pick was just a massive question mark. And I think he's got he's very versatile. He can play, to the 3 and the 4 and then a small ball lineup. He can move to the 5. He's got a good jump shot. Was a productive player at Florida State. I just didn't like him as much as I liked other guys that were left on the board, particularly Halliburton, particularly Avdija, and particularly Toppin. And I don't know, that pick was a bit confusing to me.
I think you have to look at it that the Chicago Bulls aren't really considering that they're going to have Zach LaVine on their roster going forward. The guy clearly wants out of that city, and I think that, he merits a high price. And if I were the Bulls and I have a young roster, I'd be willing to see what people want if he kind of is pushing in that direction. I do agree it felt like a reach. Like if Patrick Williams had slipped to like 15, we would have been like, oh, that's a fantastic pick. But yeah. At four, we're kind of like, ah, it feels like a little bit of a reach. Yeah. And it's almost like for these teams who are, you know, middle of the pack or good last year and somehow like ended up with pretty good draft capital, like the Celtics, they ended up faring better and they get a guy at 14 in Aaron Nesmith who fits a clear need and is way better than Semi Ojeleye. I know going to be better than him off the bat. And then, you know, a team, both of our teams, Josh, I think the Celtics and the Mavs really drafted well. And I do think, you know, it was a bit weird to see Detroit jump up to 19, but I think they snagged Sadiq Bey, who like that guy could have been top 10 pick and he fell out. So I know that like, you don't necessarily like the Killian Hayes pick, but they picked Hayes over Haliburton. Clearly Hayes was their guy for one reason or another.
Yeah.
I think you have to kind of trust those teams or at least those picks when teams are like dead set on a guy.
Sure.
And I respect it a little bit, but it's a little bit ride or die, right? And in a system where the Pistons are like so highly criticized, you know, by everyone, by us, by the rest of the media, if you miss, you look really dumb.
Well, they took the next two guys. They took Isaiah Stewart in that wild whirlwind of the trade of the 16th pick. It took me like 8 minutes to figure out where that went. He's the 16th pick. Isaiah Stewart's in Detroit with Sadiq Bey, a guy who, if the Celtics weren't going to take Naismith, I wanted them to take Sadiq Bey. And you need a guy in this league who can sit there and hit the three at a high clip, and that's that. And that, I think, you bring up Emmanuel quickly. I think that's what the Knicks want him to be. That spot up shooter right there. He's not a guy that can run the point guard in the association, but he is a guy that can bang the three extremely well. He can't put it on the floor as well as his Kentucky counterpart, Tyrese Maxey. But Naismith had the Celtics not gone with him, which at that point I wanted Kira Lewis Jr., but he was gone with the Pelicans, which is an interesting pick, but they took a good player. They have so many guards there. But I would have liked Sadiq Bey. I just feel like Haliburton goes more in line with those guys' mold. Those guys are a bit more polished, a bit more ready to play now, as is Haliburton, yeah. And that could have fast forward.
Well, look, Haliburton's going to get minutes because Bogdanovich, while that trade with the Bucks didn't go through,
he's gone.
He's going to be gone, and Buddy Hield wants out too. So both those guys are going to be gone, and it's going to be a nice little place for Haliburton to be. You know, he already said that he loves the city of Sacramento, so clearly he's excited about it. What else are you supposed to say on live TV? But
yeah, I mean, I can't get behind
him. Yeah, Haliburton and Fox, another good guy to be playing with, obviously. And I think he will be thrust into that position where he is relied upon by that team.
Yeah.
Maybe he can turn things around for them. The thing about him is he's ready to play. I don't know what his ceiling is. It feels like his ceiling isn't incredibly high. And if you're the Pistons, like, you look at that and you're like, Killian Hayes could be a playmaker for the next 10 years and really pop off, potentially make it an all-star game, like, at his best. He's a lefty, so that kind of – that helps him a little bit. He seems like he could be a better version of Luke Kennard and be more of a playmaker, less of a shooter, less of a scorer, which is what they need. They need someone to run that offense. I think it's a risky pick, but hopefully it pays off for them. I think that – I was impressed that they just ended up with four bodies in this draft.
Yeah.
And in a draft this deep, like, you got to give them credit because that team just needs players. I mean, we've been harping on it about them for a while. They just have nobody.
Oh, they suck.
Good for you, Nick, we talked about Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard gets flipped to the Clippers.
Great. Yeah,
Clippers move Shamet. They upgrade Shamet and get Kennard, who I think is kind of wasting away in Detroit. So I think he'll be a pretty good asset.
Definitely didn't expect the Clippers to do anything this draft, and they made a move for an NBA guy already, so that's good.
They were kind of a big winner.
You got to look at Philadelphia too, and they didn't really do this in their pick, right? Because they picked Tyrese Maxey, who's more of a kind of what you're talking about, Josh, more of the Kobe White type, but less of a good shooter, kind of a, you know, Monta Ellis off the bench at his best, I think. But
they get rid of Al Horford.
They get rid of Al Horford. They trade for Seth Curry. They trade for Landry Shamet, two proven shooters. Are now on their roster. So that's – wait, did I get that wrong? Is Shamet on the Nets or is he
on the
Shamet
Nets.
Is the Nets.
Shamet went to the Nets.
He's on the Nets. But they pick up Seth Curry.
They got Trevor Ariza, right?
Fantastic shooter.
Trevor Ariza went to the Pistons, I believe. No, then went to the Sixers. I mean, this is out of control.
Everyone's everywhere.
And you know what? Like 2 years ago, I would have been embarrassed and like paused the show and looked it up. And at this point, I've come to realize the NBA draft is such absolute chaos. The Pistons traded for him. That's what that was 5 hours ago, and then because he could have went to the Rockets at this point. Who knows? Trevor Ariza is still in the league. That's all I can say. That's all I can say for certain to hear.
So I'll highlight. Okay, to answer your question very shortly, my three picks are Okongwu in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Haliburton in Sacramento because of the value, and then my third. I mean, Nesmith is up there. I like the Josh Green pick. I think. And I like the RJ Hampton and Denver pick, but I really like, you know, they basically didn't have a pick in the first round. They do at the very end of it, but Memphis picking Desmond Bain, who was the clear second best shooter in this draft, was a really good pick by them.
It's one of those picks that everyone's going to be like, oh, how do we miss that guy when he just starts banging threes like Duncan Robinson did. But that's like the thing with like, I look at Josh Green, who could be a Dwight Powell but guard version, that just that uber athletic guy, and you can create that spark, you know, for the Mavs, which they love, and they love foreign guys. The Haliburton thing to me is gonna be like a Jamal Murray type deal, kind of not as wet but a little more athletic. Where we're gonna look back and be like, that guy should have gone a bit earlier, even though he went early in the lottery. I mean, listen, the 12th pick is early for all things considered. Guys, picks I liked, and I know this is like obviously it's like a top three pick, so how can you technically not like it? I think if anybody's going to be a superstar in this draft, and it's kind of because of where he fell, and like, look, the Warriors organization is fantastic, it's going to be Wiseman. Listen, he's a big player, and at the very minimum, as long as he stays healthy, he'll be good. You know, he's uber athletic, great defender, great instincts inside shot blocking. He can stretch the floor and hit it outside. He's 7'1", and
he's huge.
And he's playing with Steph, he's playing with Draymond, he's going to a winning culture. Unfortunately, what happened with Klay, we don't know for sure yet, and you hope for the best, but let's say for the worst case scenario, Klay's not playing, they still have Wiggins. You know, it's a winning organization, and he's not going to be asked to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, as LaMelo Ball might be in Charlotte, and I think LaMelo Ball can handle it, but it's a little worrisome because he's blatantly now the best player on the roster, I think. I like the Okoro pick, and again, because I think the Warriors pick Okoro and Wiseman both fit. Like Okoro, everyone's big worry about him is the offensive spurt, but he doesn't have to do that with Kevin Love. He doesn't have to do that with Colin Sexton, Darius Garland on the roster. He just has to defend the best player on the opposing team, and he can do that. He can legitimately guard the best player if they're 1-3 and step up to the 4, you know, as the season progresses. I don't know if he can guard the 5 like Bruce Pearl was saying. That would be a bit surprising. But I think he could
pick 6.
Yeah, I think he could go. Yeah. I think he could go with the 1-4 if they're their best player. And you're the Cavs. You kind of let Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, and those two guards operate. If there's going to be a team that surprises people, I think it's going to be – I don't think like the Washington comeback, I'm not in on that. I'm in on the Cleveland comeback. If there's going to be a team to kind of sneak into that 8th seed and jump like the Magic per se, I think it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm out on that.
I'm very wary of that pick because – there's so many guys. Look, in the NBA, in the modern NBA, defense, having a defender who's versatile, who can guard the 1-4, 2-5, maybe the 1-5, not many guys can do it, is huge. Yeah. It's massive. But if you can't do anything on the offensive side of the ball, you're such a liability. And like, you can just play your team out of a game. And I think, you know, that's one thing like, that we saw in the playoffs when the Thunder and the Rockets were matched up against each other and Lou Dort stepped up, right? But if he had not, the Rockets are winning every single one of those games easy because it's a player on your team. Basically, the Rockets were like, our defensive game plan is make Lou Dort shoot 14 threes. If he doesn't go 50%, we're going to win. And, you know, if you're that player, and look, Okoro is a fantastic defender. He's fantastic in transition. But like even in college, he didn't have to do anything on offense.
No,
I don't know what his offensive skill set is at all, or if he even has some semblance of it. So that's just like for a fifth pick in the NBA draft. Like that's I don't know.
He scored and took shots.
We said similar things about Josh Jackson, and look where Josh Jackson is now.
Yes.
He's at the bottom of the roster on a Memphis team. We seemed to maybe show some more promise last year, but I don't know. Cleveland seems like a similar type of position, similar type of organization that Phoenix was at the time when Jackson was there. So I kind of lean a little bit more on Nick's side here, just that I'm not certain about this Cleveland roster.
I think it could turn some heads. Look, I'm not saying they're going to win in the first round against whoever the one seed is, but I'm saying there is potential there to sneak in and be that eighth seed. Look, if Kevin Love's healthy and Andre Drummond are healthy, Phoenix didn't have those guys. Andre Drummond's like a former multi-time All-Star, did it with Kevin Love, and Kevin Love may not be an All-Star anymore, but he's still a serviceable player. And Sexton, you know, made some people eat their words last year. And I'm hoping Garland takes that step up. And look, can Okoro bust out and not hit that offensive ceiling people are pegging him for? Sure, and I could be wrong. But I think he could make a decent enough adjustment where he's not a complete liability and actually be serviceable enough on the defensive end where he makes a difference. That's what I'm banking on. Nick, three picks you like, brother.
Yeah, my first one is Jalen Smith out of Maryland to the Suns.
Yeah.
I really like that pick a lot. I mean, he's a good scorer. Great rebounder as well. I think, you know, add some size there to a team that got a whole lot better this offseason with Chris Paul. He's going to be that veteran in that locker room to lead all these young guys with Booker and Ayton. So I definitely think that's a great pick there. I love the Cole Anthony pick to Orlando. I think he fits really well in that organization just as a player, but also just like as kind of a bulldog. Like they all have chips on their shoulders there, and I think he's one of those guys because he fell a little bit. But, you know, it's also going to light a fire under Fultz's ass. I feel like that he's got some competition there, at his position. And I think they'd complement each other well there. And then I also love the RJ Hampton pick by the Bucks to the Pelicans and then to Denver.
Yeah.
So RJ Hampton to Denver. I mean, I think that if he goes there, I mean, that young team sticks together for a long time. I mean, they're gonna be a really successful team. They proved us, you know, they proved a lot of people wrong this postseason in the bubble and, you know, took out the Clippers. And, you know, you add another true scorer like RJ in there to kind of complement, Murray. I think it's a great fit for them.
They love
drafting those players that are like, they have one thing about them, right? Where it's like Michael Porter Jr. was like, he was the number one high school player in the United States and then got injured, went to Mizzou, but like he's 6'10". He's basically like Kevin Durant frame, a really good shooting stroke. And then you've got Bol Bol, who's like a towering giant.
Yeah, they love actually high shoot it.
They love crazy high ceilings and like big risk, but I think if there's anywhere that can develop a player, it's there. And RJ Hampton is a freak athlete. I mean, the guy is nut. Like, it's been a while since I've seen a guy as freakishly athletic in the type of way that he is. Obviously Zion is more athletic than weirdest way than anyone I've seen ever, I think. But
I was really RJ Hampton, surprised that he fell great to 24. I think that I thought he was going to go within the top 15. I mean, there's a lot of great players in this draft, but he's seasoned. I mean, going out there and playing in New Zealand, I know it's not the NBA and I know it's not Division I basketball, but you're still playing against grown-ass men some of them played in the league and some of them, you know, most of them have played Division I basketball. I mean, I still think that he is one of the more ready guys on this in this draft.
I think he's just
raw.
Look,
that's why he fell. That's why he fell.
There's other guys. There's other guards that went ahead of him. Like Green went ahead of him, but Green can defend with the best of them, right? And it helps if you're the Mavs. You're a competitive team. Cole Anthony went ahead of him. He's a bit of a better playmaker. I like Cole Anthony as a player, and y'all know that. I just think that Orlando's like the worst place to go always. They're just never good. Like,
I think they're putting together. I mean, they made the playoffs, you know, and they're a young team, and they've got a couple things to figure out, but they're developing.
I think we would have said
the same thing. Look how we're talking about the Suns now. Obviously they made a lot of moves in the offseason already and it just started, but look where we were thinking about them prior to those moves. They ended the bubble so hot and everyone's so high on them, and I feel like Orlando with like basically all of their players broken, they they still like fared pretty well. They got a game on the Bucks, which like was ridiculous.
I think
they have like some decent depth, and everyone was hurt, and like obviously that's a problem with them. Guys are constantly hurt, but we've been asking them to get a point guard for the longest time, and they finally did. Like DJ Augustine's serviceable, hook 'em horns. But Cole Anthony is a guy who can really fill it up.
Not a bad pick for them. I just don't know. I just feel bad for Cole. I don't think this Magic team, and the issue is not them being terrible. They're always in the middling. Since Dwight's left, they've just been middling. You know, they obviously make the Oladipo pick, and they make that trade for Ibaka. And since then, they just push their franchise in a weird – they push the win. They took the win to a weird way. And set sails in a weird path, and they've just been trying to recover ever since. They've taken a boatload of bigs. They didn't move Aaron Gordon tonight and move up in the draft. Maybe that wasn't the right move. Maybe they couldn't get the right trade. So kudos to them if they couldn't get what they wanted out of him for value. They signed Vucevic to that massive deal and left a lot of people scratching their heads saying, is that really going to catapult your franchise? Is that you know, assigning that guy that value, that monetary value, going to catapult your franchise to a top four level in the East? No. The thing with the Suns, that the Suns have that the Magic don't have in the last 3 years, they have two things that they don't have, and that's one, Devin Booker. The Magic don't have a player on their roster that's even close to the caliber player that Booker is. Who was like top five in scoring, and then they had the number one pick 2 years ago with DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be a stud. I don't know. I will always be a Magic hater until they prove me otherwise. They need to either get a superstar. One of these guys has to pop off. Could be Cole Anthony. Could be Markelle Fultz. Don't necessarily think so. I don't think they're the type of player. Or they have to have a superstar come there. And I don't know anybody going to Orlando. Have you guys been to Orlando? No.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, it's so hard to get a superstar in a small market city like Orlando. I mean, you really have to look at all the desirable places, and Orlando's got to be probably 30th or 28th desirable places to go.
Yeah, you're only getting a superstar through the draft.
Sacramento
or trade.
Like Sacramento is like worse. That's it.
No, you're not gonna you're a trade, but like I guess like do you have enough to give up to to get a
no.
No. You're not a desirable market, and you have some assets, but they're expiring assets because everyone has a red plus next to their name on 2K most of the time, right?
Yeah.
They're injured almost all the time. But I think I agree with Nick, though. I think it's just a good pick because I think Cole Anthony's good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's bad, and I don't think he'll be bad, and I don't think the Magic will be bad. I just think they'll be mediocre again. And that's just like a rough – you just hate to see good player who you like go to a mediocre organization is all. But I think he's a good player nonetheless.
All right, Josh, give us your three.
There was only two that I didn't like, and I already touched on Patrick Williams. Everything else I was kind of happy with. I wasn't upset with anything else.
I'm kind of with you.
I think my biggest question mark was Hayes. I touched upon that. I'll say a steal, and just because I love him, and I don't think he's a generational talent, nor do I think he's like a massive game changer. But I think just to supplement Gobert off the bench, I think Azubuike to Utah is kind of sick. That guy is just a freak in the paint and is a menace.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Oh, yeah. We watched him terrorize Texas.
So many times.
I look at what Robert Williams did for the Celtics, you know, in spurts, right, sparingly in the playoffs, and he was a great piece off the bench. And I don't know if he's as good outside the paint offensively, but in the interior, inside the paint, offensively and defensively, Azubuike is better than Robert Williams was coming out of college. Like, he could contribute for that Jazz team right away off the bench.
I just think that they're just a little bit different as players. I mean, Azubuike, in the same way that Vernon Carey is, like, those guys are paint dominators in the sense that, like, they need the ball and the paint on offense to dominate. Like, they're low post players.
I mean, that's Williams.
Not that he's like a slasher on the weak side, catch lobs, crash the offensive glass. Like, they're not active enough. Neither of those guys are. Apparently Carey slimmed down, so maybe he could be, but he still is lacking the mobility. And so is Azubuike. Like, yeah, if you're in front of them, between them and the rim, they're gonna dunk and put their nuts in your face. But like, I don't know if they're mobile enough. I mean, maybe it's a move because they think Gobert's gone. They think someone's going to give them a good enough offer, and they just like to have that big, you know, paint protector. And maybe he's their guy that they think is next up. I don't mind the pick. I think it still is a little bit early. Those big men that are like the paint protectors and that's all they can do. Mm-hmm. I feel like those are second round picks for me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, where the league's going, sure. And I'm not saying he is Robert Williams, but comparatively so to that off to that, you know, that energetic big off the bench. And I was touching upon that Williams is better outside the paint, and they're different in that regard. But as a Azubuike, he's just so good.
He can
defense.
Also just run the floor. Like, how many times can Azubuike run up and down before yeah. he literally can't do it anymore?
I mean, Rob, but yeah, I think he's a more polished defender in that regard as well. Like, I'm not saying I'd rather have him right tomorrow, especially where the Celtics are, but I think it's a good pick at the end of the first round. Maybe Bane would have been better, a good shooter for the Jazz, but I think that's a good pick for the Jazz. I really enjoy Azubuike as a player.
You bring up a good point, Toss. You know, those guys are usually in the second round. I got Azubuike in the second round of my 2K league.
Oh, here we go. That's the telling sign.
Well,
that
I think it's pretty clear it's now, like, after playing a year of 2K, Nick, how much did some of these guys like Jamius Ramsey fall in this draft because of their performance late in the year in college? I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
a guy
well,
that...
You also look at, like, Cassius Winston, right? Like, if you were to leave earlier... I mean, he could have been a first-rounder, I feel like. Staying for his senior season, I think, hurt him.
Maybe. He could have been the end of the first round. I mean, Cassius Stanley, I'm a little confused as to why he left. Nico Mannion, ditto with him. I think he could have seasoned a bit more.
People were mocking yeah, but of course, Nico Mannion to like be in the first round, like a top-10 pick, like before he went to college.
Yeah, he's a high
recruit. He was hovering at, like, yeah, prior to college, he was like, top five pick. Then he was down to like 15 range. I remember a lot of people early on mocking him to the Spurs, being like that would be a great fit for him. And now look who ended up with him. You know, he dropped to the second round to the middle of it, but the Warriors end up with him, and maybe it turns into something with Nico Mannion. Maybe yeah. he can be. Look, they got Quinn Cook, and that guy won two rings for their team. You know,
well, I think Mannion's a good cerebral player. But I don't look. He's not going to be an all-star by any means. But I think he could be a serviceable backup point guard. I mean,
he's learning from one of the best.
Miller yep. stinks at developing his players. The Pac-12 sucks at televising. I mean, nobody. I mean, they just get outshone year in and year out. I don't care how much talent they have over there by the ACC and now the SEC, because basketball is back there and good again outside of Kentucky, and the Big 12 and obviously the Big 10. I mean, it's like the worst conference of the Power Five. In the other sport as well now, not only football, and now in basketball. No one gives a shit about Pac-12 basketball compared to the other four. And he doesn't develop talent well. He gets all these great recruits. Like, Josh Green was a top recruit. Nico Mannion was a top recruit. Outside of DeAndre Ayton, who was a gimme of a pick, I mean, these guys kind of go there to die. I don't know why you would ever go play for Sean Miller at Arizona. Makes zero sense to me.
They want a party.
All right, what else do we cover?
Any other steals? Do you guys think there were steals?
I think Trey Jones for the Spurs in the second round.
That was my favorite second round pick too. I think he's again another guy, could be like his brother. He'll be a star. He'll be a player.
It's also great for him. It's also great for him too, cuz I mean, he's getting drafted by Pop, and there's no one like Pop who develops players in the NBA, so
Coach K to Coach Pop. Yeah. Does it get better than that?
Yeah, I think Robert Woodard as well was a good pick. I mean, just the value of it. He was basically your number three listed 3-and-D guy behind, behind Josh Green and Sadiq Bey. And you could throw, there's someone else you could throw in there. So maybe he's number four, but Desmond Bane. But I thought that was a pretty good value for him. He's like 6'8 and can shoot basically like baby Cove. So like anyone who can do that, who can rebound, play defense and shoot, is going to find home in the NBA. Thought that was a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's the first pick in the second round, but I think the Mavs got a great pick.
That was
Tyler Terry.
That was a great pick. He's a guy that could easily have gone a few picks earlier.
As a Mavs fan, I had a few picks earlier. I mean, a lot of guys had him as early 20s, late teens. So I feel like they got a really high value pick with him. Hey. And I think that, you know, we lose Seth Curry, but we get another guy who could step in and just be a high volume shooter. And as long as he shoots at a good clip, it's a good replacement.
I don't know why he has, I mean, his size, I mean, 31, 33 minutes a game.
You're 40, talking about Tyler Terry, right?
Yeah, 41 mm-hmm. from three, 90, out of Stanford. Yep. 90, 89% from the free throw line. I don't know. That could be just a really good pick. I think the Mavs did really well. Those him and Green, those are really legit picks that are going to contribute for a competitive team. I'm happy with the Naismith pick. I think the Clippers came out, you know, infinitely better than any of us anticipated they would with Luke Kennard. I mean, I don't know how much better you can get than that without really having any top tier picks. I mean, he's a guy.
I think that the only thing about the Celtics that I kind of like raises an eyebrow with me is you picked Peyton Pritchard, but you picked Carson Edwards last year at the end of the first round.
I don't think they like Edwards.
These guys are going to, no, then you wasted a pick on him.
He didn't get a lot of minutes either last year.
I was hopeful for Edwards. That guy was raining down from the deepest of ranges in college.
Yeah, but they rather run out Brad Wanamaker out there.
Well, I think
Pritchard
reminds
me of Wanamaker. Point being, it's like if you don't like Edwards, that's one thing. But then you missed on that pick.
Yeah. Well,
and if you did, so be it, I guess. But if you do like Edwards or you like him enough to keep him on your roster, now you have these two guys duking it out for your backup point guard. Wanamaker's probably not going to get re-signed by the Celtics. And then you traded that 30th pick to Memphis. And my thought behind it is just like, why not package that 26 and 30 for something and get – and try and go get like Tyrese Maxey, you know?
Yeah.
Where was that?
I mean, we were watching in different rooms, but I was yelling at the TV, trade up, Danny. I was happy with the Naismith pick. I wanted to trade up and get Halliburton. I wanted to trade all three of those effing picks and get Halliburton. By the time he slipped past the Suns and the Spurs, and they were sitting there at 12, and like it's two picks ahead, I'm like, fucking jump the Pelicans because they're going to take him. The Kings could take him because nowadays it doesn't matter. You could run two point guards. Rockets proved that with two of the best, so they can do it. Anybody, you know, you can kind of adjust the game. You don't need just one point guard on the floor. You need multiple guys that can handle the rock. I was like, jump and get him. I mean, again, I like the Naismith pick. We needed a shooter off the bench. But Halliburton, to me, would have been better, and I would have rather traded all. I would have rather traded Peyton Pritchard and some. We ended up trading the 30th pick. I would have rather traded all of that and gotten Halliburton. They just didn't do it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Danny's done great with Jalen, done great with Jason, done great with Marcus Smart. I can't sit there and complain. Obviously, I enjoy the Robert Williams pick. But, yeah, last year we sat there and I was like, Romeo Langford, what the fuck are we doing? Peyton Pritchard, I'm not, like, juiced about. He's fun, I guess. But, like, I'm not, like, jonesed about it by any means. The Jaden McDaniels pick could have been better. Would have been a better fit, maybe.
A bit risky, though. I feel like a lot of guys don't. Like, he turns the ball over, like, 3.5 times, 4 times per game in college. And, like, that's kind of a lot.
Who, Jaden McDaniels? Yeah. I mean,
As a big, that's, like, something. It's a big no-no for Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
His type of basketball that he runs. I feel like it feels like a classic fit for a Minnesota Timberwolf.
Yeah, right. Just to go there to perish.
Yeah, the Leandro Bolmaro pick I thought was kind of wild. I'm interested to see how that Argentinian kid ends up.
He may not play. He may be a draft. I think he's going to be a draft and stash. Did it with the Greek kid. I don't think they're going to come into the association this year. Especially with COVID.
How about Denny Avdia receiving that information at the local wine shop? That was pretty nice.
L'chaim, baby. As they
looked like he was at y'all's former employers, John and Vinny's.
Yehuda and Vinny's.
There was one snub, I think, who didn't get drafted.
Who was it, Nick?
Shaq West. You guys know Shaq West?
Yeah, my guy.
Yeah, Shaq West, the rapper for Mo Bamba.
Oh.
He entered the draft, and he didn't get drafted, unfortunately.
That's a shock.
But
who passed tweeted, him?
Everyone passed on him. He said, strangest draft ever. I ain't tripping. I'll come back next year. 29 teams will regret this night. Back to the gym. Been balling.
29 teams? Let's have him learn the NBA first. There's 30.
Well, he's saying when he comes back next year,
someone will pick him
and regret it.
So, do we know, Nick, anything about Shaq's game?
Yeah, so Shaq was actually on Obama's AAU team. And that's why he wrote that song, because there are boys back in New York. But he can ball.
So he can hoop a bit.
He's not an NBA player, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'll give
you. Have you watched like a video?
You definitely
go
to the LA Fitness in
Studio City,
Mid City, Los Angeles, and ball with me, and throw it up.
So if you're Shaq, if you're listening,
throw it up to you, Nick.
You know where to find Nick. Nick, are you happy about your boy Malachi Flynn?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Toronto. Yeah. I'm glad that he didn't go to Toronto because they're trading that pick, but. I think they traded it to, I'm trying to remember who they traded.
Is he going to Minnesota? Is that what it is, too?
I think Minnesota, maybe.
How many guys
did they... Everyone's going to Minnesota.
What the hell are they doing over there?
Is he going to Minnesota? It's so hard to find, honestly. It's so hard to keep up with all that shit. It's really stupid.
No, I think he's staying. I think he's staying in Toronto.
So-and-so's... when I was watching it, he's going somewhere else. But whatever. I like that he gets picked in the first round. I think he's got a lot of upside. I mean, he was the leader of that team, San Diego State, and they were going to make some noise in the tournament, but it's all good.
Yeah. He feels like a good fit for Toronto if that's where he is.
They got to fill the void for Fred VanVleet, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they're going to throw him
the
badge. They want to. I don't know who else is going
to. And honestly, no one else wants to sign him for that much, probably.
Yeah, he's going back. T-Town. Good for him.
Best name in the draft? Ooh. Justinian Jessup, maybe?
Justinian Jessup?
I mean, Nick, I'm sorry. Jessup? The late second-round picker, Jay Scrub. I can't see him being good. His last name's Scrub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It's a slouch, slouch pick. Very slouch pick. Cool, guys. Fun stuff. Love the NBA. We'll be back.
Rookie of the year? Who's going to be rookie of the year?
Rookie of the year. That's a great question. Who do I think the rookie of the year going to be? I think the rookie of the year is going to be James Wiseman.
I like it. Nick?
I mean, I think the best player in the draft is Anthony Edwards. I think they got it right. But I don't know if he's made enough. I mean, he's going to play, but I don't know if he's going to actually put enough numbers on that team right away.
Tony LaMelo.
I think – damn, it's tough.
Here you go. Here's a hot one for you, Josh. Shoot.
I have a backup.
I'm skeptical of him. Killian Hayes is going to be the rookie of the year.
I'm going to go with Obi Toppin.
Nice. My dark horse is Devin Vassell. I think he's going to score a boatload of points in San Antonio, potentially.
Wow. I don't think he'll see enough minutes, but I do think that Killian Hayes will. And just by the sheer volume, it's most likely going to be LaMelo because of that.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Killian Hayes because someone's got to do something on that team.
All right. So, Nick, I have Wiseman, Toss, you have Hayes. Nick, who do you have?
Obi Toppin.
All right. T-shirt jerseys. You know the drills, boys.
You got to quit making
I'll make bet. That bet when you hold your bargain on your other ones that you've made.
What other ones?
I told you we bet the Rams Seahawks game and the Rams won.
All right, what do you want? And I told you to find it and I would do it.
I shouldn't need to find something that we talked all right, about well, on the show.
Cool.
The listeners can attest and they can.
Okay. All right, if you want it, then what jersey you want? I got you right now. Go do it.
You don't remember we made the bet on? We said the jerseys on the show.
Is it Donald?
It was Aaron Donald and Russell Wilson.
All right. You have an Aaron Donald t-shirt jersey coming your way. Do you want to pick out the style or do you want me to just go for it?
Actually, no. It was a Jalen Ramsey one.
Okay.
I think that's what it was.
Okay. Well, now there's going to be some questions.
Oh, Nick loves him.
Because you're flip-flop.
Nick loves Jalen Ramsey.
All right. Well, Toss, I'm going to shoot you a couple links. Let me get off the air. Nick, always a pleasure, my man. Beard's coming back. You look great. The fans out there, drag both feet inbounds. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck. Hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they free and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. We in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball to the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Box back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game. Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Cena!